Well, good morning, Grand Rapids First family, Grand Rapids First family online, and most importantly, Pastor Sam and Pastor Brenda. It is just my incredible privilege to be any small part of this extraordinarily special day. Extraordinarily special. I have a limited amount of time, so I have just two things that I'd like to get done. The first thing that I'd like to get done, I think probably is obvious, and that is that I need to say congratulations to Pastor Sam and Pastor Brenda for 15 years of loving Jesus in Grand Rapids, 15 years of loving this great church, and 15 years of romancing the community of Grand Rapids to Jesus Christ through faithful ministry. We love you and we appreciate you. I don't know if you know this church, but anymore, 15 years of quality leadership in a local church is a rarity. It takes 15 years of sitting underneath the presence of God and receiving fresh vision. 15 years of being able to figure out how, after 750 sermons to the same group of people, you get a fresh word from heaven. And he does it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. That's 15 years of walking with young people, watching them become married people, who become people who have children, who build legacies of faith. 15 years of walking with people through mountaintops and valleys and being present in those most sacred of moments. And we are so grateful today for your yes to this people. So we pray yes. Let them know one more time. Just get out your clapping hands. You're going to use them a lot this morning. And we are just grateful, and we hope today that you feel honored, you feel blessed, you feel encouraged. We hope you feel the smile of God on your souls. We pray that deep inside of you, you feel the affirmation of the Father with an early prophecy of well done. The second, I want to encourage us as the Grand Rapids First family to take a practical step today to steward the gifts that have been given to us in our great leadership. Matthew Henry said this, the great 17th century commentator. He said that when God intends great things for his people, the first thing he does is he sets them to prayer. But I believe right along with prayer, the first thing he does is he sends them a pastor, someone to lead them, excellent quality leadership. And we have the leaders for this time, for this community, in this church right now. Pastor Sam, over the last number of years, this has already been said, has laid out a clear, simple, usable formula for us to become the kind of people who can not only live vibrant lives in Christ, but can reach our community, grow. You know it. And I think one of the best ways that we can respond to the gift that Jesus has given us of excellent leaders is today ensure and evaluate that we have been responsive to the leadership and the vision that they have given us. You know, Pastor Sam and Pastor Brenda are very charismatic. They have incredible personalities. They are informative. They do all kinds of wonderful things. They're even hilarious sometimes. But at the end of the day, they are here for one reason, and that is that this community of God would grow in Jesus Christ and blossom out into the community. That is what they are here for. And so I am confident today that we could bless them in no greater way than if we as a people would say, despite our differences, despite our preferences, despite our backgrounds, we will get together, we will join the vision, we will follow the leadership, and we will grow. We will become the people that Jesus wants us to be. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be immature, behaving like children. And it follows right into the verse we use as the basis for grow in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Instead of being immature, we will speak the truth, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So today our first challenge of four is to grow in Christ and embrace the vision to grow in Christ in every way. One thing I love about Pastor Sam and Brenda is they know that it is important in leading a church that that church grow as deep as it wants to be wide. that when Jesus looks down on the earth and he says, who am I going to give more sheep to? He is looking for the leadership and the church that take good care of the sheep they have already. He wants us to grow in every way. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it is strategic and intentional that January, every year, he wants us to grow in Christ in our prayer lives. And so it is dedicated there. I don't know if you noticed, but it is intentional that he wants our marriages to grow. And so we have Young Marrieds Ministry, and we have speakers of excellence and modeled in their own marriage. I don't know if y'all know this, but he even wants your sex life to grow. Starting with the Hagnea series years ago, opening up honest conversations so that this is a place that excels at the activity the world is most broken in. And for those of us who are broken and have hurts and hang-ups in the past, champion and celebrate recovery to come and be made whole and well. The call is to grow in Christ in every way. He wants us to grow as worshipers, and I know all of this excellent team, they have their own unique callings and gifts and talents, but can I tell you, that doesn't happen without leadership. And I think probably the thing that may be most near and dear to their heart, they want the next generation to grow in Christ. Not only investing in staff, not only investing in programs, not only investing in Next Gen Now, but investing in this group, saying, come on, let's be the kind of place and the kind of people that when these young people look around, they say, that's who I want to be. That's the life I want. That's the direction that I want to head. And we bless them because the future of the church rests in the vision of our pastors and our leaders. Jesus wants his people whole and healthy and loving God. And I just think it would be entirely appropriate for us to honor the heart of Jesus once again, or maybe for the first time, by this morning saying, I will be a grower. And what I mean by that is we will take intentional advantage of the opportunities provided by our pastors in the structures and systems they have created to help this community grow. We will join the vision to become a healthy, vibrant follower of Jesus. Last week in Sunday service, Pastor Sam said this, the church can provide all the resources for someone to grow in Christ, but it can't force them to use them. And I don't know what that means for you today. Maybe it means jumping out and signing up for Celebrate Recovery and finally moving forward. Maybe it means getting into Young Marrieds and saying, we refuse to settle for a marriage that is not healthy and vibrant. Maybe it means getting involved in vertical student ministries. Maybe it means following your calling and finally saying yes to that thing Jesus has on your life. But today, would you honor God's gift to us by saying, I refuse to do anything less with my life than to grow in Christ in every way.
But I also can tell you that that's not just a nice video that we put together because it's something you say about your pastor when you celebrate an anniversary. We do that because it's actually true. It's actually real. And we're going to talk about the R in our core values, but the R is not just relationships. When you watch that video, it's about authentic, genuine relationships. Pastor Sam and Brenda, congratulations on 15 years of faithful ministry. We so appreciate it. And listen, you know, pastoring a church is very unique. Every job has its challenges and problems. But there's something unique about the calling of a pastor. So we thank you. We thank you for laying down your lives because those of us who get to be behind the scenes and be with Pastor Sam and Brenda day in and day out, we see things that not everybody else gets to see. And it really is a sacrificial calling, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that. When I knew that we were going to be talking about relationships and I saw that video, my mind immediately went to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul is writing to a church, and he was actually there, and he actually ministered to them, so they got to see him in action. And in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul's writing, and he says, listen, I didn't just come to you with all kinds of spiritual power and all kinds of stuff like that. I didn't just preach messages to you, but I came to you. I worked signs, I worked wonders, I worked miracles, but even beyond that, you got to see what my life really looked like. That's what he says in chapter 1. And then he jumps into chapter 2 in 1 Thessalonians. And here's what he says in verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 2. It says, with a mother's love and affectionate attachment to you. I just want to stop right there. As I watch Pastor Sam and Pastor Brenda, this is my favorite thing about them. Beyond preaching, beyond teaching, beyond the way that we do outreach, beyond all of the things that we love about their leadership, this is the thing that I look for behind the scenes, because this is the thing that differentiates Pastor Shepherd from somebody who's just hired to do a job so they do it for a paycheck. This is the difference. They genuinely love you from their hearts. They genuinely love you. You know, when the pandemic hit last year and none of us could meet together, we didn't know what to do with ourselves. It's like we're all used to being in this worship center every Sunday morning because there's something unique about being here and being together, but we couldn't. So we would be on this platform and some of us would be able to do church here and the rest of you would be able to join in online. And thank God that we had the technology to be able to do that and so forth. And we've even gained new people online, new members of our church family that may not even be in this area, but you're here with us online because of what happened during the pandemic. But when we came back together for the very first service, those of you that were there, if you recall, I was standing right down there. Pastor Sam, Pastor Brendan, neither one of them could get a word out of their mouth because they were so moved, the tears just overflowing, because they love you from their hearts. Paul says, with a mother's love and affectionate attachment to you, we were happy to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our lives, because you had become so dear to us. Then in verse 10, he says, with God as our witness, you saw how we lived among you in holiness, in godly relationships, and without fault. And listen, every time I do a wedding, every time I do a funeral, I say the greatest gift God has given us is the ability to have relationship with him and relationship with each other. And Paul's authority didn't just come from him preaching a message. It came from this right here, that he's sharing his life with the people. And he gives this list of three things. And I think this list is a little bit strategic. I think the order is a little bit strategic. The first thing he mentions is holiness. What Paul is saying is, listen, you get to see my life. I'm sharing my life with you. You can see how I live, and you see my holiness, but that holiness part is not just about what other people see. It's Paul's authentic relationship with God. So Paul is saying, listen, first I have authentic relationship with him, and then out of that authentic relationship flows the other relationships that I have with you. And the second thing he mentions is godly relationships. And that isn't just, hey, let's watch the Super Bowl tonight. How's the weather? That's not godly relationships. What godly relationships here means is we have a relationship centered around the Lordship of Jesus, where we encourage one another, we lift one another up, we help one another grow in the faith. That's what godly relationships are. You can have all kinds of other relationships, but they may not make a hill of beans difference in your life spiritually. But when we come together as the body of Christ, when we have authentic relationship with one another, then we grow in the Lord Jesus and we become everything, like Pastor JP read, the body of Christ is all that it is supposed to be as we live together. And then the third thing he mentions is that living without fault. And that's just, you know what? I conduct myself with integrity before you. I do it before God, Paul is saying, and I'm doing it before you as well. I'm not saying one thing in public and being something else behind the scenes. What you hear and what you see when it's lights, camera, action is what you hear and see if we're all alone. We're together in a room, or when Paul is in a jail cell, he's the same person. And listen, those are the kind of relationships that God wants us to have, those authentic relationships. But how in the world do we get relationships like Paul had? How do we have this? Listen, there are those of you in this room that you've watched Pastor Sam and Brenda on this platform. Some of you in our online family, you've watched them and you've thought, man, I sure wish I could have a life like that. But here's the deal. We really can have that life. We really can have that life. It doesn't just have to be something you see on a screen or somebody far away lives it. You can live it too. But everything hinges on the first thing that the Apostle Paul said. Holiness before God, authentic relationship with God. Everything else hinges on that. If we don't have that, then the G that Pastor JP talked about isn't going to happen. Everything that Pastor Jeremiah is going to talk about, everything that everybody else is going to say or do in this service, none of that stuff is going to happen unless we have authentic relationship with God. And I want to look in 1 John just a moment, because Jesus had 12 disciples. But out of those 12, there were three that were just a little bit closer: Peter, James, and a young man named John. He was so close to Jesus that he calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how he refers to himself. Because it seems like when we read the New Testament that Jesus loved all 12 of these guys, But John was very close to his heart. As a matter of fact, John is so close to him that when Jesus is on the cross, he looks down and John is there. And I don't remember any other guys being mentioned, but John is there and there's some women there. One of those women is the mother of Jesus. And when Jesus is about to die, Jesus looks at his mother and said, "Now here is your son." And he looks at John and says, "John, now here is your mother." You do not entrust your mama to somebody unless you really are close with them. So John knows what it takes to have close, intimate relationship, not just with God, but with other people. And here's what John says in 1 John chapter 1. He says, "If we are living in the light, as God is in the light." What does that mean? That means we're not walking in spiritual darkness. We're not walking far away from God. That's not what we're doing, but instead we're bringing everything into the light. If we do that, then what do we get? We have fellowship with each other. When I get into the light with him, an authentic relationship with him, I don't just get him, I get you too. And the deal is, the more that I walk in the light with him, the more I love you. And interestingly enough, the more that I love you, the more that I get closer and be like him. John says, if we live in that light, then we have relationship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Listen, if we're going to grow and be all that we're supposed to be, if we're going to become the men and women God wants us to be, if we're going to really grow in relationship with one another, we got to walk in authentic relationship with God himself. And listen, we're not going to wait for the end of the service. We're not going to wait for the moment when we think, okay, pastor's going to give an altar call right now. We're going to do it right now. Before we go any further, we want to get an authentic relationship in the light with Jesus right now. And listen, when I was thinking and praying about this moment, I thought there are people, I really felt there are people in this room, in this congregation, and you've been here for a long time. And you've watched Pastor Sam or Brenda, you've heard sermons, you've thought, "Oh, that's a great word, I love it, it's wonderful." But you have never stepped out of the darkness into the light. I know that can happen because I was on a ministry trip myself one time all the way over in Australia and sang at a church where a man was 53 years old, grew up in the church, married his wife in that church, and never once made Jesus the Lord of his life until that night. His name was Marshall. He lived his whole life in the darkness until that moment. So I know we can be in this room. You can see good sermons. You can think, "Oh, that's great," but you've never stepped out of the darkness into the light. There are those of you in our online church family. I really feel that there's some of you, you've really made your connection with Pastor Sam. You see him every Sunday. You love hearing his ministry. It affects you. It moves you. But you may not have stepped out of darkness into light. It's time to step into the light. And I think that there are those of us too, if I can just broaden it a little bit, we're believers in Jesus, but it's so easy to let darkness creep in on us and to just kind of move back into that darkness instead of keeping ourselves in holiness in the light. And I want us to bow our heads right now. We're just going to have a private moment. And if you are one of those people that's like, "Yeah, I've heard the messages, I've seen it, I love Pastor Sam, I love Pastor Brenda, I love all the ministry here," but you know that you need to step into the light. You need to come to Jesus and make him the Lord of your life. Or if you are one who, "Yeah, I've come to Christ, but I'm letting the darkness creep back in on me. I'm letting stuff into my life I ought not be letting into my life, and I don't have authentic, genuine, open relationship with God." If that is you today, in this room, I just want you to lift up your hands, and I want to get a chance to pray for you right now. First, I'm going to look on the floor, get that hand all the way up so that I can see it. If that's you here, we want to get a chance to pray with you. All right, come on. Yeah, I see you. Yes, thank you. Back there, back there, back there, right over there, I see you. Come on, Jesus loves you so much. Come on, look up in the galleries here and up into the balconies. If that's you, get those hands up. I want to get a chance to pray for you. You don't have to leave this place the same as the way you came in. Yes, up at the top. Yes, right there. Come on. Thank you, my brother, way up in the top. All right. I'm looking over in this gallery here. Church, isn't it great? people are going to step out of the darkness into the light today. Those of you that are online, listen, I know you can't be here and raise your hand for me to see, but you can do it right there online. You can raise your hand electronically. You know how to hit all the stuff there. If you want to message somebody, one of the pastors that's online with you, do it. This moment is for you too. Don't stop. Don't wait. You can join in with these people right where you are. Don't care where you are in the country or the world. You can step out of the darkness into the light right now. Now listen, church, we're all going to pray together. You know we do this because we're family. We're all going to pray this together, all right? So let's pray. We're going to step out of the darkness and into the light. Come on, repeat after me. Father God, I come in Jesus' name. I've been walking in spiritual darkness, but I want to walk in your light. I want an authentic relationship with you. I believe Jesus is Lord. He sacrificed his life for my sins. He died to bring me to God. But he was raised from the dead so that I could have new life. Jesus, I'm trusting you for forgiveness. And give me your new life. From this day forward, I want relationship with you. In Jesus' name, we agree together. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Congratulations to you online.
Good morning, family. Amen, amen. Aren't you having an amazing time this morning? Amen. Pastor Sam, Pastor Brenda, we love you. We absolutely love you. Amen, family. Listen, I have the opportunity to talk about the O of our core values, and as you've seen it in the video, that's outreach to our world. Now, I got to be honest with you. As your community outreach pastor here at Grand Rapids First, I love the O. Oh, I love the O. Don't get me wrong. Those of you who know me, I love growing in Christ. I love to relate to others. I'm a relational guy. I love the W, worshiping God. Those of you who know me, who sit in front of me, I sing really loud and off key. But I love the O. And so when I was given the opportunity to preach about the O, I said, Lord, how are we going to do it in such a short amount of time and really get to the heart of it? I got to reminiscing. I got to prayerfully reminiscing. Not the shoulda, woulda, coulda reminiscing, but the healthy reminiscing. I got to thinking about the time my wife and I started attending Grand Rapids First a little over 10 years ago. And I got to thinking about it, and I heard the voice of my pastor, Sam, and Pastor Brenda, and they still say it today, some of the phrases they would say. Like, we are romancing our city to Jesus. I remember the first time I heard that, I looked at my wife, I was like, ooh, I like that. And then as I was reminiscing, I got to thinking about, like, how do we romance the city to Jesus? I'm going to keep it simple this morning, y'all. Another phrase came to mind that our pastors say to this day. I love that you guys remain the same. We see the need and we feel it. We see the need and we feel it. No strings attached. See, no strings attached really means we do it without, we don't need anything in return. There's two components found in seeing the need and filling it. You have to first be able to see the need. Then you have to be able to feel it. And so when I think about that, there's two passages that really come to mind. See, in order to see the need, you have to be able to see people. In order to see people, you have to be able to love people. In order to effectively love people, you got to love God. And so I think about Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. And in this passage, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's up on the screen. Jesus is approached by a lawyer. A lawyer is a professional in the law and comes up to Jesus, I can imagine, with some kind of cynicism. Oh, yeah, Rabbi, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus, if I could, I could imagine Jesus saying, oh, that's simple. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That is the greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Family, that's how we're able to see the need. We love God and love people. We love God and love people. But it's one thing to see the need. It's another to be able to step into it and fill it with no strings attached. And so how do we do that? How do we do? I mean, anybody can see the need, you guys. Anybody, fam. You know how we step into it and fill it? By walking in greatness. Bear with me, because I'm reminded of the disciples and how they would argue. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest. No, that's where you're wrong, because I'm the greatest. Jesus never rebuked them for wanting to be great. Jesus stood in their midst, Matthew 23:11, and said, the greatest among you must become a servant. Family, that's how we step into the need, by serving. We're walking in relationship with our neighbors, our community, our city, our missionaries. Therefore, we see the need, and we're not afraid to serve at this church. So we can step into that need and we can fill it with no strings attached. We bring people to Christ. We equip them to be like him. We romance our city to Jesus. We see the need. We step into it because we love God, love people, and live great. We love God. We love our neighbor. Therefore, we serve them, maybe through a food distribution during a pandemic. We love God, we love our veterans, therefore we serve them by fully furnishing their new apartment downtown. No strings attached. We love God, we love our local schools, therefore we serve them by a summer of outreach, cleaning, painting. Maybe we become classroom buddies and serve right there in the classroom. We love God, we love our missionaries, therefore we serve them by supporting them financially. And with our prayer. See, the list can go on and on and on of how we walk in greatness here at Grand Rapids First. But keep in mind, greatness is all about serving. We are romancing the city to Jesus. We're seeing the needs because we're walking in relationship with our city. And we're stepping into them and filling them because we love God. We love people. And we are walking in greatness here at Grand Rapids First. Amen, family. How many of y'all want to walk in greatness this morning? How many of y'all want to walk in greatness? Keep in mind, please keep in mind, when you see someone walking in greatness, you find someone serving. You find someone serving. And our pastors have been that model to us. They make it easy. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You do that very well. Listen, family. At the very heart, again, of greatness, you're going to find someone serving, and serving at its very finest. At its very finest is truly worship. And so with that, would you stand with me again as we walk into another opportunity to worship God?
I tell you, it's just a privilege to be the worship pastor here. I feel like the most privileged worship pastor on the face of the planet. And I tell you, Pastor, it would be privilege enough just to serve here under your leadership. It'd be privilege enough just to lead the congregation in song every week. But to know that I get the opportunity to be a part of leading people, ushering people into the presence of God, it's truly an honor. It's truly an honor. You know, church, when we worship and we lift up and praise God, did you know that we're literally building a throne for the presence of God? We're building a throne for the presence of God. David says in Psalms 22 verse 3, says that God is enthroned upon the praises of his people. We're not just here to mimic the latest songs or imitate the most popular Christian artist. And listen, we all have our styles, right? We all have our different things that we appreciate and we like, but it's not about style, it's about substance. It's not about our preference, it's about his praise. I love what the psalmist says in Psalms 150. He talks about all the different ways to praise God. And he says, praise him with the trumpets and the harps and the lyres and with timbrels and with dancing and with the stringed instruments and with the loud clashing of cymbals. And it ends, and you probably know it. It says, let everything that has breath, come on, say it, church, praise the Lord. So here's what that means. That means nobody's left out. Whether you sing like a soprano, you croak like a frog, whether you play the guitar, the ukulele, the banjo, the bagpipes, you name it. When we worship, everything should give glory unto God. Everything. Amen. Amen. I love the Psalms right before this, Psalms 149. And it's one of the most powerful representation and celebrations of worship and praise in the Bible. And I want to read it together. You'll see it on the screens here. But starting in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your maker. O people of Jerusalem, exalt in your king. Praise his name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. Let the praises of God be in their mouths. And listen to this. And a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with shackles and their leaders with iron chains, to execute the judgment written against them. This is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. You know, in this Psalms, there's two main themes that I see. The first theme is we must understand that everything we are, everything we have, should give glory unto God. Every instrument, every voice, everywhere, we should be praising God. And that even means in our physical posture. And Pastor, you talked about this in December with the wise men, and you talked about radical worship. I mean, so whether that means jumping and dancing for joy, or whether that means falling on your face in humility. And you know, it's actually what's happening in heaven right now, right? It says that the saints, they're gathered around the throne, and you have the whirling creatures and the angelic hosts all praising the living God in the Son who gave himself for all humanity. But the second theme that I see, and it may come as a surprise to some of you, or if you've been a part of this house, you've heard Pastor talk about this. But when we worship, when we praise God, our worship and our praise are literally implements of spiritual warfare. You may not think of yourself as some great spiritual giant or some great spiritual warrior that moves mountains with your prayers, but let me tell you, when you praise and you lift up the name of Jesus, it binds the enemy and it frees the saints, church. We see it right here in verse 6. It says, let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands. Why? Verse 8, here it is. It says, it binds spiritual kings of darkness, wicked spirits in high places with spiritual shackles and chains. Can you imagine that? When we exercise our praise and our worship unto Jesus, when we do that, it literally sets spiritual prisoners free and it puts demons in prison. When we exalt God, we shame the devil and all of his demons. We begin to take back territory he's stolen from us, and we carve new beachheads in the kingdom of God. And we begin to draw that line in the sand and we say, this far and no further. Church, no wonder Satan hates our worship. Our worship is a weapon against him. And when we use that weapon, his kingdom gets bigger. Our problems get smaller. The vision gets clearer and God's presence gets nearer. The last verse of Psalms 149, I love it. It says, this is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. This is the glorious privilege. Church, we have an honor, and that honor is called worship. Church, we have a weapon, and you know what that weapon's called? That weapon's called worship. I love it. What Jesus says in Matthew 18, 20, he says, where two or three are united in my name, he says, I am there in their midst. Well, just imagine what happens. If we know when two or three are united in his name that Jesus is showing up, just imagine when 2,000 or 3,000 are united in his name, all in glorious harmony, worshiping and praising God. Just imagine what happens when the praises that rise out of Grand Rapids First and the wind from the Holy Spirit combines it with the praises of all believers in Grand Rapids. Imagine when the wind of the Holy Spirit combines it with all the praises of believers in Michigan. And just imagine what happens when the praise from our country reaches the sound of praises from other countries around the world, even countries where tyrants have tried to stifle the presence of God's people, but they can't, because even if they tried before that, the very rocks would cry out. And all these praises on earth ascend into the heavens until it condenses into a cloud of worship. And finally, that cloud bursts into blessings all over the face of the earth. The Bible says, until the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Church, this is the glorious privilege of his faithful ones. Praise the Lord. And I think we should do just that right now. Come on, would you lift up the sound of freedom in this house? Would you lift up what an actual victory looks like? Come on, we're gonna send a notice to the powers of darkness that Satan is defeated and Jesus has all victory.